Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you very much for that. And we consider that a sign of high intelligence. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Karen Kerrigan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I am so excited about having her back on the show. Karen, by the way, folks, I'll remind you, is an original member of our Brain Trust and almost an original member of the show, meaning that she is one of the very first guests that I had on in the first, within the first couple of 3 weeks of doing my show back in, beginning it back in 97. Seems like so long ago. We're in our 10th year now. Karen was one of the very first ones, and incredibly, she keeps coming back. I don't know exactly why. I know she's dedicated to small business, and she knows we talk about small business around here, so that must be what it's all about. But she is one of my good friends, and whether you know it or not, small business owners, she's one of your good friends, too. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here on this wonderful Valentine's Day. We're sort of sleeted in here in Washington.
I know. You guys got problems, don't you?
We do. When I took the dog out for a walk this morning, I took the shovel to see what type of work I had ahead of me later today, and boy, the stuff's heavy.
Yeah, how much snow you guys got up there?
You know, actually, it's sleet. It's
oh,
like
really?
It's a couple inches, it looks like, on top of this little dusting we have. So
yeah.
that's what we got here in Washington.
Yeah. Well, both airports are closed, I understand.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, you know, in Washington, closing down the city for a day during the week is probably a good thing.
I'm starting to feel a little safer already, Karen, to tell you the truth. Karen, by the way, folks, Karen Kerrigan is the president of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Karen, by the way, my wife, my Valentine, has told me that it's okay for me to have other virtual Valentines. So will you be my Valentine today? Will you be one of my virtual Valentines today?
As long as it's okay with your wife.
She says it's okay.
We've known each other for so long. And
I know.
And it's harmless, right?
As long as it's virtual, I think she says.
We'll probably send back and forth economic data.
There
right?
you go. That's right. Yeah, that's about as romantic as we get, isn't it? Karen, what's the news with the new – you were with me right after the last election to talk a little bit about what was probably going to be coming up. But now that we're into Speaker Pelosi's 100 hours, I should say, mm-hmm. first 100 hours, which I'm still not sure when that's going to be over. It's the longest 100 hours in the world. But as long as while we're still in her first 100 hours, how are things going in Congress, and how are small business owners doing?
Well, you know, I think small business owners, are, you know, outside of what happens in Washington, are doing well. You know, of course, the issue would be if any of this stuff passes and gets into law, that's where they can begin to feel the pinch. But
like minimum wage.
Like minimum wage. And, you know, actually, this week, a House committee votes on what's called the Employee Free Choice Act, which is sort of a weird name for it. Because
it's a disingenuous name. It's a dishonest term, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it is. I mean, I think this is going to really hurt small businesses hard, and no one's really looking or talked,
right,
you know, in a comprehensive way about that impact, because essentially, it would allow employees just to collect signatures through a card check system, and if they get 50%, more than 50%, hey, you're a union shop. So talk about a really efficient way It basically makes the
secret ballot null and void, doesn't it?
Well, it does. This would be a mandated.
It prevents the secret ballot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, and really, what's happened is, you know, what unions have done is organize bigger shops, because then under the current secret ballot system with the NLRB, it's more efficient. You get more people. You know, if you get 50%, you know, plus voting on a secret ballot way, but here, if you just have this mandatory card check system, where everyone knows how you vote, you know,
yeah.
on this, the employees,
well, Guido,
the union,
Guido walks
and
up
the
with
employer,
a...
and the employer.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nuts. But I think this is going to, basically, this can turn union organizing into more of a turnkey, efficient operation, mm-hmm. and they can mm-hmm. start targeting, you know, small businesses more. So it's, you know, and that's, it's really quite a dangerous thing. And you know, talk about taking away an employee's right to privacy, and to be free of intimidation and all that other stuff. You know?
This is a very important topic, folks. And I know many of you out there are thinking, man, I'm a long way from being unionized, you know, with my few number of employees. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I want to dwell on this a little bit more with Karen when we come back. It's called the Employee Free Choice Act, and the name is not what the bill means. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Sylvia.
Once you get
classic. Just like me. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Folks, pound for pound, nobody in the planet does more than Karen Kerrigan does for small businesses. And if you didn't know that, you need to know that now. Karen, give us your website and tell us a little bit about SBE Council.
Oh, sure. I would encourage everyone to visit sbecouncil.org, sbecouncil.org. You could sign up for our e-news. And, you know, Jim, we're an advocacy and research organization that represents 70,000 small business owners nationwide. Everything that we do in the nation's capital, from looking at bills and legislation and testifying on the Hill and looking at rules and regulations, is done in the name of protecting small business and promoting entrepreneurship. So there's so much going on in the nation's capital and in the states impacting small business owners. And, you know, we really try to help lawmakers understand what they're doing, and if they continue to want to do it, we either, you know, if we fight against it, if it's really bad for small business, then obviously push for good reforms that we think are going to help the entrepreneurial prosper and grow.
And folks, when members of Congress on either side of the aisle and in the White House or any of the bureaucrats hear that Karen Kerrigan would like to talk to them, she has something she wants to discuss with them, she has an idea, she has a thought that will help them, they listen, and they listen to her. And Karen, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what you've accomplished and the hard work that you do. You and Ray Keating and all the other folks there, whom my audience knows Ray very well, all of the other folks there at the SB Council, we're so proud of what you do, and we thank you for your service. Karen, I want to get back to this Employee Free Choice Act.
No Choice Act.
It's really what it is. And all right, folks, let me set this up for you. Prior to this act, which they haven't passed yet, it hasn't gone all the way through, I don't think yet.
If the Congress doesn't shut down today, then they'll be voting on it in a House committee today. They're marking it up.
And that's in the House first, right?
That's in the House first. There's been a bill proposed in the Senate as well, but it's supposed to move to the House floor by the end of this month or beginning of March.
Do you think it will pass in the House?
Oh, absolutely. It's got 232 co-sponsors.
Including some Republicans?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing, folks. Think about this. Prior to this, as we stand here today, if someone wants to organize in a company, they take a secret ballot, and then whatever the results is of those secret ballots, then they organize or they don't organize. The union's invited in or it's not invited in, but it's all secret, and nobody has to know how you voted. It's like voting for the president or your member of Congress. But with the new act, the alleged Employee Free Choice Act, everybody will be given a card, and you will be identified as having that card, and your vote will be known to Guido standing in front of you, or the any of the union organizers, or, and as you said earlier, Karen, the employer. Everybody will know how you voted, and talk about putting pressure on people.
Well, yeah,
our country was based
on
the secret ballot.
Beyond just giving people cards, I mean, you know, you're going to have visits and calls from, you know, union organizers saying, you know, pushing you and asking you, you know, well, aren't you going to sign this? And, you know, so there's the concern about coercion and peer pressure in terms of just, you know, getting someone off your back and stopping the harassment. You know, but also with the secret ballot system, you got to remember that, you know, this is a federally supervised election as well, with very strict guidelines from the NLRB. They ensure that there's neutrality in that vote, that there isn't undue union or employer coercion, you know, in terms of, you know, how the employee votes. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it really does become a more unregulated system where the leverage is given to the unions on this, for
sure. If the new law is passed.
I mean, it would be the only union organizing tool of the land. It would be mandated. The card check system would be mandated throughout the entire system. So, you know, you can only imagine how this would pretty much, you can imagine, Jim, moving forward if something like this passed in terms of its impact on small business. It really becomes a more efficient tool for union organizers, number one, and the NLRB just simply it's turned into a vote counting agency as opposed to some, you know, a group that organizes. The other thing is that if an employer is seen as, you know, intimidating, define that too, okay? Mm-hmm. Define the word intimidation. Intimidating an employee on where they stand on unions and, you know, how they would vote for such. I mean, it would be a civil penalty. There'd be a $20,000 fine per occurrence. You know, so, you know, mm-hmm. how you define intimidation and undue
right.
influence.
That's called intimidating small business owners is what it's called.
Well, just look at the current legal system right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, you don't do anything because someone can complain that they've been intimidated and you got a $25,000, you know, dollar fine slapped, you know, at your doorstep.
Karen, 30 to 40 years ago, there were approximately 28 to 30% of all employees in the United States were unionized.
Right.
Today it's somewhere around 8%, I think.
Right, of the private sector workforce, that's correct.
It's about 8%. Folks, the reason that those numbers declined was because individuals chose not to be part of unions anymore. Unions are not necessary anymore. They were in the middle 90s, 1900s. They're not necessary anymore. Their ranks are declining. And this is the way for the union leadership to try to grow their ranks at a time when it's just not necessary. And they're fighting the marketplace. And folks, this is a fight. 10 till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Karen Kerrigan right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, President of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's SBECouncil.org, and I encourage you to go there and check it out, folks. You can also find how your member of Congress voted on small business issues there. I use it all the time. Very handy, very helpful. And that's SBECouncil.org. Karen, quickly employee no choice, which is our sarcastic term for it. It's the actual term is employee free choice, which is a joke. But the employee free no choice agreement or bill is in the House. You think it'll pass the House? It's got to be in the Senate. It's got to pass the Senate too.
Right.
Will it pass the Senate?
You know, I don't think so. It's got 44 co-sponsors over in the Senate. I think they have a majority vote of yay votes, but they have to, you know, it'll probably be filibustered. But the point is it builds momentum for it going into 2008. And if you got a Democrat, you know, in the White House, I mean, you know, this is something that could pass. So, I mean, there's probably a 30% chance it would pass the Senate, but I do think, you know, there are stalwarts over there who do see this as just sort of a horrible infringement on worker privacy, And also new burdens on business. So
on small businesses, which they all say is the strength of our economy, but they don't always act that way. Let's move over and talk about Sarbanes-Oxley.
Sure.
Why should small business owners care about where we are right now with Sarbanes-Oxley?
Well, we're trying to reform it because it's been a burden for a lot of small public companies. But this is why they should care. If you're a small business owner whose exit strategy is to merge, you know, with a public company or to be acquired by such, you have to be
Or to go public yourself.
I mean, absolutely. Although right now in the current environment, you wouldn't. Everyone's sort of going back. You know, you have to be Sarbanes-Oxley compliant, which means you've got just tons of new accounting rules and regulations and reporting stuff that is absolutely impossible to figure out and very costly. So, you know,
Karen,
it really does stunt the growth of small firms.
I've got a friend who went public in 96.
Right.
His company is doing great now. Doing well on the market, in the marketplace.
Sure.
Stock's doing great. But I asked him, I said, Paul, if you were going public right now, if your company were 10 years younger than it is right now, and everything else was the same, and you were thinking about going public right now, what would you do? He said, I wouldn't do it. He said, Sarbanes-Oxley would prevent me from going right now.
Well, it would. But not only that, Jim, I think, you know, basically, you know, companies are going public in, you know, in London and overseas. So we have this big capital drain. You know, folks are deciding to go, you know, the capital markets are really being destroyed here in the country, and folks are going public overseas. I mean, that is just not good for short, mid, or long-time economic growth.
And it's because of some of the regulations, some of the requirements of Sarbanes-Oxley is costing so much money, is putting so much pressure on in areas that really weren't necessary. Every one of the corporate raiders, every one of the corporate malfeasance that the Enron folks and the WorldCom folks, all those people are in jail right now, are dead. But the ones that are in jail under laws that were in place prior to Sarbanes-Oxley.
Well, yeah, I mean, the system worked. Section 404 is what the killer is. It needs to be repealed. But the question is, would an Enron or whatever occurred with Sarbanes-Oxley in the place? And the answer is probably yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you know, financial sheets have become no more easy or transparent
thieves,
to look at.
Thieves and robbers didn't stop doing what they do when people put locks on doors.
No, you can't. If people have ill will or want to do something, they're going to do it. They're going to find their way.
Right.
And I would argue that Sarbanes-Oxley is so complex that you may be able to even find easier ways, you know, around the system in terms of, you know, exploiting stuff and ripping off the company. So,
can we get it modified?
Oh, you know, the SEC is dragging its feet, and it's really annoying. They're trying, but they're failing. They put out some new guidelines and rules, which we're looking at, and we don't think it answers affirmatively the basic question. That is, if a company is thinking about going public, will they do so under these new guidelines? And the answer is absolutely not.
And
that's sort of our test. Huh?
Two other friends of mine that were public took their companies back private.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Sarbanes-Oxley. Karen,
and that's not easy or inexpensive to do so. So it shows you just what a barrier or what a pain Sarbanes-Oxley is.
I got 30 seconds. Aren't you proud of small business owners?
Yeah, they're thriving despite all this. You know what I mean? And are just, you know, really making our economy hum.
They're tough
birds. And that's
the
positive news.
Yeah. They're tough birds.
I'm
so proud of them. I know they're my heroes, and I know you feel the same way. Karen, give us that website one more time.
SBECouncil.org, SBECouncil.org. Check it out. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, and we.inc.org too, right?
We-inc.org, Women Entrepreneurs.
For women entrepreneurs.
A lot of really good stuff going on there.
I forgot to mention that earlier. Karen Kerrigan, thank you for being here. Thanks for all you do for small business.
You bet, Jim. You take care.
Thanks. Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.